And welcome back. We heard earlier from NPR's Michelle Martin with her thoughts on Ferguson since Michael Brown's death. St. Louis 21st Ward Alderman Antonio French continues the conversation in this segment. The Northside Alderman was a key source of information on the Ferguson demonstrations following the Brown shooting. He's been outspoken since. Antonio French joins me in studio to continue the Ferguson discussion. Nice to see you again, Alderman French.
Good to see you.
Well, what do you think? It's been a long time since we've sat down to talk. Where do you think we are right now following the DOJ report, most recent demonstrations, the shooting of two officers, all the things that have transpired in the last six, 7 months?
Yeah, unfortunately, I wish we were further along. We are, I think, still in the crisis. It has changed, and we're at a different phase. Obviously, since the DOJ report has come out, it's put a lot of information out there that is really undeniable now. So we have to acknowledge it. But I don't think we have done enough in the last few months to really address some of these issues. And what I worry is that as we get into these warm months, summer and spring, typically our higher crime months, when we have more violent crime, especially in the city, That disconnect between the community and the police is still very much in effect, very much exists like it did last year, and could hurt some of our crime-fighting efforts. And so we still have a lot of work to do. There are efforts. Different organizations, different individuals have been doing a lot of work. Unfortunately, though, I think a lot of the officials and government bodies that really, many of whom, like, for instance, the city of Ferguson, which were really called out in the DOJ report, have not undergone enough reforms yet. And many of the comments coming from some officials still sound as though they still, in some ways, reject some of those claims made in the DOJ report. So I think the harder they fight against reality and the inevitable change, the longer it's going to take for us to get to where we need to be.
Is this kind of the St. Louis way? There's been a lot of talk, but, you know, talk, as they say, is cheap. It's the action that counts, and action is always very slow in this part of the country.
It is. You know, change is slow all over. And what's happened, though, is that, you know, in many ways, you know, comparisons have been made, obviously, to the civil rights movement and this current movement. If there is a comparison, I would say that many states, mostly southern states, went through this process years ago. Missouri, St. Louis, didn't really have a lot of that conflict in the 60s and 70s. And so it's kind of a delayed education on our part. And so we're kind of going through what a lot of states did many years ago. But, you know, I'm confident and I'm hopeful that we're going to get through it and we're going to, in the end, be a better place for it.
But, you know, there have been any number of reports that have been done over the years by various organizations here with regard to racial polarization and racial issues. And, again, this is something I've mentioned many times, my impression that the report gets done, it gets a little comment, and then it gets thrown in a drawer someplace and nothing happens.
No, you're exactly right. There are countless reports that have really outlined the racial divisions in our region and a lot of the disparities that have existed. What I hope is different about the DOJ report is that the DOJ actually has authority to do something about it, to force a certain amount of change. And what I've been pushing for and many others from the very beginning is that the DOJ should not limit their investigation or their recommendations just to the small city of Ferguson. What we know as St. Louisans is that Ferguson itself is not unique and that what happened in April, I mean, I'm sorry, in August, both in the shooting death of Mike Brown and in the police response and the large demonstrations that we saw afterwards could have just as easily happened a mile and a half up the road or a mile and a half the other way in any North County municipality or in St. Louis City. And so what I found interesting in the last few months is that prior to August, there was this big effort, this one St. Louis effort that we are all to start thinking more regionally, which is all one St. Louis. But since August, a lot of our officials have been very content to just let this be a Ferguson by itself problem. And if we're going to fix it, if we're going to actually become a better city and a better region, we have to acknowledge that many places share in some of those behaviors and practices that were indicted in that DOJ report.
Is consolidation in one form or another, and there are many ways to go about that, I suppose, is consolidation the answer, do you think?
I think some form of consolidation may be helpful, just because it is easier to try to implement these reforms on a single large police force as opposed to many dozens of smaller police departments, many of whom don't have the resources, frankly, to maintain the level of professionalism and standards that we want. And so we do have to ask ourselves in the region, is it practical to have a police force for 1,000 people who winds up being one of the largest expenses for that municipality and whose function winds up being just to generate the money to pay for itself and other city expenses? That's not really the purpose of a police department or a municipal court system.
So in terms of consolidation, what you're talking about is consolidating law enforcement, perhaps. What about government and governance?
Well, that's a conversation that has started. It has been on some people's agendas for quite a while. It is now part of the broader conversation. Now, the question is going to become is what's good for these North County towns also good for other county towns? Mm-hmm. So if you do consolidate or force consolidate, say, Jennings, Dellwood, Vernita Park, what about the ones in South County or in Central mm-hmm. County, the Ladues, which are also small towns with their own police departments. What I do hope that we do, though, is actually begin to examine this and actually work together to come up with a plan for transformation and not just do this in a piecemeal fashion. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, legislation is moving through Jefferson City right now that would further limit the amount of revenue that these towns can generate from tickets and fines.
10% cap.
Right. And so you have a lot of these municipalities that are way too high right now. Some of them, by some estimates, are as high as 40%, 30%. Mm-hmm. Now, if we were to just very quickly limit it, shrink it from 30% to 10%, there would be some negative consequences for the citizens who live in that area.
It would bankrupt the communities.
It would bankrupt it, right. And so, and then if you have these bankrupt communities, what is that going to do for our region? And so we have to figure out a way to keep the quality of life high for the people who live in those communities while also achieving the goals that we all want to get, which is to have a more fair judicial system.
Now, there's another part of this, I think, that has to be considered, and that is with consolidation of governance, just keeping the law enforcement part of it aside for a moment, is you're really taking local government farther away from the people by doing that, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons why overall consolidation has never worked or never happened in this area. People want to be close to their local government.
Yeah. And so I was never a supporter of the idea of the city joining the county and becoming a 91st municipality. First, I already thought there were way too many municipalities in St. Louis County in the first place. But the other concern is just that very reason, is that the people in my ward want to be able to have closer access to the folks who make those decisions and not want to have to go to Clayton to get the kind of change they want in their neighborhoods. So I understand folks who have moved out. They've made a decision to move to these towns. A lot of them like having their small governments. They like having their mayor on speed dial, seeing them at the corner store. And so they have to be included in the process. In this conversation we have about whatever transformations are coming down, we have to include folks in that. And what I don't want to see is something coming down possibly from the state legislature that breaks up these towns. Many of them are African-American towns with rich histories that transforms them without the input of those people. But we do have to recognize that the way we've been doing things has not worked. And that having especially these small police departments and municipal courts is actually lowering the quality of life for folks in the community, and it's making especially African Americans feel that they're being targeted by the government.
You seem to indicate that you think that the legislature could, by legislative fiat, make this happen without a vote of the people. My understanding has always been it would have to be voted upon by the people.
There would be a vote at some point. Now, is it a vote of the local municipality or a vote of the county? Okay. And so it is possible, if it's at the county level, that the will of folks in South County and Central County can be imposed on the smaller municipalities in North County. And we don't want that. I mean, the whole conversation really is about the role of government and how government plays in the lives of its citizens. And so we don't want to we don't want another form of government bullying. And so it's unfortunately, though, that conversation is being had on one level, but it's not being had in the places it needs to be had. And so we need some more leadership. We need people to – it would be great if the governor or if the county executive called together a group to kind of really start these conversations that included people from those communities, elected officials from those communities, all recognizing that we are going to have to change.
What sort of role do you see for yourself? I'm going to digress for just a moment in this this whole arena. There's been a lot of speculation about you, as you well know, following the high visibility you attained early on after the Brown shooting, that you have some political ambition. Do you see yourself? Are you considering anything that might put you in a better position to affect some change?
Well, I want to help in whatever way I can. And
you sound like a politician, Antonio.
obviously my role as 21st Ward Alderman did not include any of the things that – none of my responsibilities included anything that I did in August and September. But I felt that there was a need. And so what I recognize is that what happens down the road – and for me, it was right down West Florissant – affects us all. And so – you know, I look for ways to help. We formed a nonprofit organization, Heal STL. We are constantly looking for ways to facilitate this conversation. But I don't have any political plans right now, but I'm always looking for a way to help.
Do you think you could be effective as a congressman or as a mayor of the city of St. Louis?
Well, those are questions for down the road. None of those elections are anytime soon. But in the meantime, we do have a congressman and we do have a mayor. And I'm always encouraging them to become more involved and more active and use their positions to help further this conversation and improve the lives of people who live in this community.
We started the conversation by talking about some of the needs in the communities that we're talking about in Ferguson in particular. And we've talked about the police and maybe changes in governance. But you said there are some other changes that need to be made. Where else do we have to look to improve the situation?
You know, one thing here is, you know, we can spend a lot of time talking about the structural changes, the forms of government, judicial changes that need to be made. But we have to at some point acknowledge the cultural issues that we have. You know, in many ways, we have been a divided city for a very long time. And what we saw really play out in these last few months is that the St. Louis experience is so different depending on where you live and what zip code you're from and what race you are. And what we've seen is that, and you see this especially with comments from some residents from Ferguson, that some residents from Ferguson don't see this at all, don't see the issues at all, and still to this day reject some of the statements made in the GOJ report that there is some kind of a system of racism in place and sanctioned in that town. And then you have some African-American, mostly poor folks, who say, that's exactly my experience. That's what I've experienced from day one since I've been here. And so the cultural change that we really need to try to get to is a point where, one, we all acknowledge each other's experience, and two, we have a more common goal and experience in St. Louis, which is to improve the quality of life for everyone, and we will measure how great we are as a city by how everyone's experience is, not just a select few.
Bring us up to speed, if you will, on your North Campus project. That is, you know, that's one way to go at the problem, as I see it.
Yeah.
And you've received a rather significant grant.
So we were awarded it. We haven't received it yet.
Okay, well, there is a difference.
There is a difference. And so the North Campus Project is really dear to my heart. So we started this a couple years ago. We'll celebrate our third anniversary this spring. And it started as a summer program for kids and has expanded to an everyday program. It's really modeled after the Harlem Children's Zone in New York, where we've identified an area of North St. Louis, drawn our circle in the sand and said, this is our area and we will be responsible for the kids in this area. And what we're building out is a pipeline of success from birth through college placement. Right now, we are concentrating on grades 3 through 8. We will come back later in the year and add the component from birth through second grade, and then we'll do high school next year. And so we operate right now out of two buildings. We have a partnership with St. Louis Public Schools. We have about 150 kids in the program who come to our program every day after school, weekend activities, and they're really making great progress. And what we're trying to do is create a model. The goal here is over 5 years to create a model that could be replicated in other places. So we're expanding. We just picked up another building. I'm raising money this week to try to get that thing online in about 60 days. And we'll keep going from there.
The answer to some of the things we've talked about, and certainly with regard to the cultural issues, rests with the kids. I mean, I think that that's where the change is going to have to happen. The old folks, their ways are set.
Yeah, the kids are definitely easier to work with and easier and really in many ways they have a head start. So kids, what we're doing with the kids and exposing them to a world beyond just their blocks, I think is helping tremendously. But we can't write off the adults either, not just older folks, but young people too, the teens and the 20-year-olds. It is that group, especially African-American men in that group, that we really have to engage and really have to improve their quality of life. Otherwise, it's going to create problems for everyone. This is the group where many of the violence is happening between them. Mm-hmm. Joblessness is in double digits. Many of them have been the victims, the most common victims of the kind of stuff that is in the DOJ report. They're the ones that get pulled over. They're the ones that get roughed up. They're the ones whose civil rights get violated all the time. And it makes them frustrated, angry. And without jobs, it creates a bad situation for all of us. And so that is a group that we desperately have to address and engage and improve their quality of life, or we will all suffer.
Well, the Urban League has stepped up to the plate just recently with a job training center. That's big.
That's a great program. And I was there yesterday. My hat's off to Michael McMillan and the Urban League and all the corporate entities that helped make that possible. So in that former QT site, which really became a rallying point in August, people from all over the country came to pay their respects at this location. It will be flattened and it will be turned into this new area where young people, especially young men, will be able to turn their lives around and hopefully be placed in jobs. And that's going to be huge for us.
What role do you see for the corporate world here? Obviously, some are involved with the Urban League project here, but corporations are going to have to become more heavily involved, don't you think?
I think so. We have a lot of wealth, a lot of smart people in corporate St. Louis. We need to prioritize the improving the quality of life in these neighborhoods and these communities is vital to the interests of St. Louis. So in the same way that we're able to raise a lot of money for arch renovations or forest park projects, we really need to look at some of these roughest neighborhoods in the city and realize that it's in the best interest of corporate St. Louis to prioritize and invest in these areas in order to raise the quality of life, which will lower crime, increase the economy, and just make St. Louis a better place for everyone.
Only have a little over a minute left. What do you think is the next most important step that has to be taken to get things back on an even keel here?
Well, I think what folks are still waiting for, and this is why you still see protests, is that people are still waiting for real change. And so what was described in that DOJ report was not just individual actions of a few people who can resign and you can replace them. What was described is a system in place that really preys on folks and uses the judicial system as a revenue-generating mechanism. And what we have to recognize in St. Louis is not just Ferguson, and we have to deal with it.
And you started this conversation by saying if a change isn't detected fairly soon, You are a little concerned about what happens when the weather gets warm.
I am. Dealing with crime is always a big issue in the city of St. Louis, and this fracture between the police department and citizens is really bad. You know, when the little boy, the 6-year-old boy, was killed earlier this week, last week, when the police arrived at the scene, they were being heckled. And I've seen this over and over where at crime scenes lately, citizens are yelling at police when we really need to be figuring out how to work together to solve these crimes.
We've got to end up there. There's a lot of work yet to be done. Antonio French, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Brittany Packnett about her work on the Ferguson Commission and President Obama's task force on 21st century policing. We'll also take a look at a local organization that provides community mediation services. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.